Lumber camps were a big part of Wisconsin's culture in the 19th and early 20th centuries, even before Wisconsin became a state. Lumber isn't the only thing that came out of Wisconsin's logging camps. Music was a big part of that culture, too.
Jim Leary joins us now to talk about the role of music in lumber camps. He's Emeritus Professor of Folklore and Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison and co-director of a three-year National Endowment for the Humanities project, Local Centers, Global Sounds. That's a joint venture of the Center for the Study of Upper Midwestern Cultures and the Mills Music Library. He's the editor of the book, Pinery Boys, Songs and Song Catching in the Lumberjack Era. Jim, welcome back to Central Time.
Very glad to be here.
Well, tell us about the music scene in Wisconsin's lumber camps back in the day.
Oh, man, it was pretty wild and woolly. They were a mixture of people from a lot of different places, from the Canadian Maritimes, from the state of Maine, kind of Anglo-American background, but there were a lot of Irish, some of whom came down through Canada. There were Ojibwas, Chippewas, Menominee, mixed you know, French Indian people, French Canadians, but then lots of Scandinavians, also Polish people, Germans, Belgians, you name it. The northern half of Wisconsin was the pinery, and people from all those backgrounds went into the woods oftentimes.
So that must mean the music there was not just one kind of music, but you must have had a whole lot of different traditions kind of active up there.
There was a lot that went on. Back in those days, of course, if you wanted music and song, you had to do it yourself. And a lot of peoples had customs of getting together in the wintertime when crops were done and you try to socialize. And, of course, the work in the lumber camps had to be done in the winter because you had to move the big timber over the frozen ground. And so people would go into the woods, mostly men and teenage boys, and they'd be there for a couple of months, would work 6 days a week, but Saturday night they'd have time for some fun. And so there was an expectation, you know, that you'd chip in. Some people were better than others, but some could play a tune on a fiddle or sing a song or dance a jig or do a trick or tell a story. So people did that.
And this is partly a story about the songs and the singers, but it's also about the song catchers. And you've edited this volume by Franz Rickaby, who collected a lot of these lumber songs.
Yeah, Franz Rickaby was born in Rogers, Arkansas. He was a fairly young man when he died, only in his mid-30s. He died in 1925. But in the late teens and early 20s, he decided to be an adventurer and to kind of hike and travel around through the upper Midwest, especially northern lower Michigan, the UP, northern Wisconsin and northern Minnesota, in search of lumber camp songs. And he would play his fiddle sometimes to entice people. He got help from different folks along the way. But he was really part of a wave of people who were interested mostly in English language narrative folk songs that were a heritage from England and Scotland, to some extent Ireland. And he was looking for those, and he was inspired in part by John Lomax, Alan Lomax's father, who in 1910 had published a book called Cowboy Songs and Other Frontier Ballads. And Rickaby wanted to find out what the lumber camp equivalent of that might be, and he found lots of amazing songs and singers.
I don't want to wait any longer to listen to some music here. This is one called Shantman.
Shantyman.
Shantyman. There's a, I thought there was a missing Y. All right, let's listen to Shantyman. Here it is.
All you jolly fellows, come listen to my song. It's all about the pinery boys and how they get along. They're the jolliest lot of fellows, so merrily and fine. They will spend their pleasant winter months in cutting down the pine.
Some taste of the song Shantyman there. Tell us about that one.
Well, that's a song that's gotten around a lot in Canada and the United States. It's kind of a chronicle of what goes on in the woods during the year and what happens to the teamsters and the sawyers and the swampers and what happens later in the log drives. And the singer, a very remarkable person, Emery Denoyer, French-Canadian background, around Merrill in the late 19th century. He was injured and blinded, and but had a great ear and was a good singer. And he picked up out in the Rhineland area a lot of these songs, and with help from a brother, they would trudge around to lumber camps in the Rhinelander area, and they later would take the train and go farther afield, even into Minnesota, and he would sing and entertain in the lumber camps, and then he picked up other songs there as well.
That was a very cheery song. This is a guy who'd been injured and blinded. I'm sure he wasn't the only one. This was dangerous work, probably lonely, cold, because it's the middle of the northern Wisconsin winter.
Right.
Are all the songs about the merits and happy times of pine lumbering?
Well, no. You know, there are songs about people being beheaded in log drives by, you know, crashing timbers or having large limbs fall on them, or miserable conditions. There are some fairly raunchy ones complaining about bad food in the lumber camps, or slave driving bosses work all day, no sugar in your tea when you're working on the weight boys roll away, and you know, that sort of thing. So plenty of complaint.
And so that one was a cappella, just one voice singing kind of a narrative picture story song, I guess you could call it. Did you ever get kind of bigger ensembles going, harmonies, that kind of thing?
Well, not much as far as we know. You know, that whole Monty Python, I'm a lumberjack, with people singing with choruses and dancing around, and they're all named
Wait,
Bruce.
That didn't really happen?
No, not exactly. So a lot of the singing was a cappella. And Denoyer, even though he was French-Canadian, sang in what was very much an Irish style, you know, a little higher pitch than a normal voice, kind of in that tenor vein, and a slow tempo to it, and some ornamentation in the singing. And he often used that ending of speaking the last line, just saying it, shifting the gears. And that was a fairly dominant style in the lumber camps.
Talking to Jim Leary, looking at the music of Wisconsin's lumber camps in the 19th century into the 20th century a little bit. A new book, he's edited a reissue, Pinery Boys, Songs and Song Catching in the Lumberjack Era. Let's give we've got another sample from the book. We'll give a listen.
In 1871, to swamp for a gold devil we begun. 'Twas on the banks of the Eau Claire, we landed there when the ground was bare. Yoo!
An enthusiastic rendition there.
Yeah, that's 1871, to swamp with a go devil we begun. And that's like hauling out a log out to the tote road with a travois, or a kind of a log improvised sleigh made out of a forked log.
So a literal description of the work at hand.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
what was. Is the thumping clicking in the background?
That was Ray Calkins whacking with a peavey that's kind of a cant hook that's kind of a log wrench for manipulating
logs. So it's
logs.
Actually, you know, stuff you'd use to cut down trees.
Well, actually,
there.
Once they're cut and cut into lengths, you use it to kind of maneuver them around.
So it's part of the equipment used in the craft
Yeah.
And then a part of the book, the reissue here, Franz Rickaby, the original song catcher, I understand his granddaughter wrote a big introduction to it. Can you tell
yeah,
us
this
about
was
that?
A fortuitous thing. I'd been interested in Rickaby's book, Ballads and Songs of the Shanty Boys, that came out in 26. It had been out of print and wanted to do a new edition. And as I was thinking of that, I was very lucky through a mutual friend to meet Gretchen Dykstra, at least from afar. We've never met in person, but she's Rickaby's granddaughter, and she was pursuing the grandfather she never met, and had access, of course, not only to family stories, but photographs and letters. And then she kind of retraced his steps and did a magnificent job of revealing the life of this person about whom very little was known. And then I added a little bit at the back in the Mills Music Library. We have a lot of unpublished songs from the Upper Midwest by Rickaby, and I was able to add those and annotate them. So it's kind of a new packaging of old stuff, but with this great bio.
So did she feel that she did get to know her grandfather through this work that she had done and maybe from stuff that you added too along
yes,
to the picture?
Yes, she did. And she writes about that in a very vivid and touching way. So I'll leave that as a surprise for interested readers.
Now, in the book, it's not just the words of these songs, but Rickaby collected the melodies, and there's the musical notation. So if the musically inclined at home wanted to sing these lumberjack songs, they could do that with a piano or guitar.
Absolutely, yes. And the two songs we've heard were songs, different versions of the same stuff that's in the book that were made in field recordings in the 30s and 40s.
Jim, are any of these songs, I mean, there's still a lumber industry in Northern Wisconsin. It's not what it was, but are any of these songs still alive and kicking today?
Well, there's a younger guy, Brian Miller, who grew up in Bemidji, Minnesota. He lives in the Twin Cities now. He's played a lot of Irish music, and he has done two great CDs of lumber camp songs from Wisconsin and Minnesota, mostly a lot of them with Irish melodies and instrumental music. So they're younger people who are picking up on this stuff.
We're going to go out, Jim, with a song called Lost Jimmy Whalen. Can you tell us a bit about it?
Yeah, this is in northern Ontario. There was a guy who was killed on a log drive, and this is a story about his sweetheart calling up his spirit from the dead. Sung by Robert Walker from Crandon.
As slowly and sadly I strayed by the river, hey, watching the sunbeams as evening drew nigh, as onward I rambled, I spied.
And Jim, I want to thank you so much for joining us again today.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for having me.
That was Jim Leary, Emeritus Professor of Folklore and Scandinavian Studies at UW-Madison. He's the editor of Pinery Boy, Songs and Song Catching in the Lumberjack Era, and he joined us to talk about the role of music in lumber camps in Wisconsin.
There's more to come on Central Time. We'll go out with more of Lost Jimmy Whalen. This is the Ideas Network.
Jimmy said she won't you come to my arum and give me sweet kisses as oft times you've done. You promised you'd meet me this evening, my darling. Oh, come, dearest Jimmy, love, come from your grave. Slowly there rose.